first to U.S. Challah, and then afterwards we'll do a little post Tisha B'Av for a few minutes. What? Yeah, no, but really certain inspiring things that I was omit on, and people mentioned to me different nekudas that I think I'll share with you. You know, like on a higher level. Like I shouldn't even say it in the same breath, but I remember once sitting by Yeshuas, and Rosh Hashanah Shadron was speaking. And Rosh Hashanah Shadron, in the middle of talking, changed topics and spoke about something totally different. And he said over a story. So he saw everybody was looking at him strange. So he says he has this Kabbalah that if Hashem puts a thought in his mind, he has to say it. It was meant for somebody at the table. So he says it. Even if it was like way off the beaten path, of course, Rosh Hashanah is such a gadol, he always tied it in. All the time. But the Maaseh, so on a much lower level than that, if something happens between one year and the next that I feel hits a nerve by me, so now that I have an oilam that we share things together, so I'll share with you, and you never know, it might inspire you as well. And it's something I've been grappling with in the last 5 months. I've had the opportunity to become a Tosha in Eretz Yisrael, having grown my whole life and lived in Chutz La'aretz. So there's the initial impact of like you almost pinch yourself, you can't believe you're here, because it was such a like not negaya that you would ever make it. So it takes you a few weeks to land and be convinced that it's really, you're not like a trip and you're going back, but you're here to stay and finish. You're a one day man, one day yontif. But then, as the days turn into weeks, which turn into months, what happens is that his chadshus could wear off to a point where you could maybe go a few hours and chadshus, even a whole day, and forget you're in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened was there were different things that happened that made me think on Tisha B'Av how almost a day went by a couple of times, but something always happened to ground me again and remind me I'm in Eretz Yisrael. So I had to figure out an Eitzah, how to, in a year from now, that should also still happen. So I'll share with you different things, whatever, because you guys have probably all been here a lot longer than me. And I don't know, so I'm still a new kid on the block. So I can share with you certain things that I haven't yet taken for granted, and I hope never to. But one of the main nekudas is that people remind each other. It's hard for a person to be on top of it himself. But we'll see. Let's finish to the end. To at the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says that Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. Rav Chisda, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down after it gets wide. Rav Chisda, forwards from the end of the line. Rav Chisda Rami Ksif, he had two psukim that seemingly were contradictions. The Chofra Alavona Ugusha Achamo, Ki Melech Hashem Tzemakos. It says over there that the Alavona is going to be like extinguished, so to speak. It's like going to be like Shvachened up, weakened. The light from the Levana and the Chama will be embarrassed, meaning the light that it gives off will not be that strong. And it shows you that it seems like there's a diminishment in the lights from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Levana and the Chama. And then it says, so you see that the light seemingly are going to be fully vibrant with all of the strength that they always had. So if Chizda wanted to juggle the two psukim, where one, it seems, is telling us that there will be a diminishment in the light, and one, it seems, was saying that it has the same level of light.
When is this? What time?
At the time of Tchias HaMeshim, it sounds like. So the Gemara answers like, Kasha Kan LeYimayisa Mashiach Kan LeYim Mabo. One is talking about the time of Mashiach, and one is LeYim Mabo. When is it LeYim Mabo is talking about when the lights will be diminished? Mashiach is when it's going to be strong. So the Gemara says that's only going to work according to one shita. But Ula Shmuel can't hold like that, because Ula Shmuel da Amar ain beino il mazel liyimaisa Mashiach el shibut golus bavad. He says there's no nafka mina between il mazel and yimaisa Mashiach, except for if we're going to be subservient to the goyim or not, so then how could you say this pshat in the lights? So therefore, according to Shmuel, you're going to have a different distinction between the two psukim in order that they shouldn't be contradiction. So Lakasha Kamba Machana Tzadikim Kamba Machana Shchina, because if it's in the Shchina is so light, it outshines any lights from anything else. So it appears like the lights of the sun and the moon are not working. Because if you go into the middle of a sunny day, you put on your high powered flashlight or your car headlights, it's not going to do anything. Because there's a much more powerful light that's lighting up everything. Therefore, that will be the way Shmuel answers the contradiction, and therefore the lights will be diminished. They'll appear diminished in the times of in the Machane Shechina, where the Shechina of Hashem is, and where they won't be is in the Machane Tzadikim. And the Gemara continues, a few more lines. Rava Ramik Shiv Ani Omis Vachaye. He has another pasuk where it says Hashem says I will kill and I will bring back to life. That I will wound and I will heal. So it sounds like for one Gemara that the way they were killed, the way they died, is the way they'll be brought back to life with the Mumin still intact. And for one, it sounds like that they're going to be healed at the time that they come back to life. So this juxtaposition of these two psukim, how does it jive? Which one is true? When they come back to life, will they come back with their Mumin or not? Will they be healed? So the Gemara answers, "Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma Hashani Meimis Vani Mechaya, V'Hoda Ma Shemachatzi Vani Erpo. What I will kill, I will bring back to life, and then what will heal? That means he comes back to life, and then it will be healed. So maybe the two psukim can work together. The problem is that answers me the stira in the psukim. That first they will come back to life, and then they will be healed. But how do I know, in general, that the same person who died is the one that's coming back to life? Maybe it's the one that came back, the one that died is not. It's just like someone will die, so someone else could be born. From the wording of Ani Omis Vachaye, you don't know that it's the exact same person. And that's what the Gemara deals with now. Tana Rabbana Ani Omis Vachaye, Yochel Shetei Misa Be'echot V'chayim Be'echot. That Reuven dies, Shimon is born. How do you know that Reuven dies and Reuven is reborn at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, is brought back to life? So, you might think it's like the regular way. A person dies and someone else is born. No, I will wound and I will heal. Meaning, just like by someone who gets a mum and then he gets healed, it takes place in the same person. Reuven had a broken leg. His leg was missing, and now Reuven is alive with two legs. So it's the same exact person that is getting healed. Af misa v'chayim be'echod. From the fact that these psukim are written right near each other, the one who's getting killed, misa, is the same one that at the time of Tchias HaMeisim is coming back to life. Mikan tshuva la'omim ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. This is the answer to anybody who would like to assert the opinion that Tchias HaMeisim is not Minat Torah. From the juxtaposition of these two psukim, we see clearly a proof that Tchias HaMeisim is Minat Torah. That just like the one who got a mum is the same person who gets healed, so too the one who gets killed is the same, who dies is the one who's going to become brought back alive. So now, this is the connection to way back to the two dots before we started on Antoninus. We wanted to know, how do you know Tchias HaMeisim? And the Gemara tried a few other rayas before. Add this to your list of terutzim. This is another raya of Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah that you shouldn't think that, oh, it's just one of those things. No, from the way the Torah was written, we're able to have a clear proof that there's Tchias HaMeisim and it's going to take place. Now, this is like a shtickle of a stopping point, because then the Gemara goes on and tries to bring another raya, and the Gemara starts a new thing, Tanya Amar Meir, another way. Okay, so I want to just segue from this Gemara a little bit into a little post Tisha B'Av, to take Tisha B'Av with us. Not so much the mourning part, but the trying to understand a little bit what's wanted from us. I want to share with you a few things. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says an interesting thing. Here's a question. What was Moshe Rabbeinu when he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu said he had a taina that he wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael. Right before that, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to come into Eretz Yisrael. And there was a tremendous, it was a very hard thing for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the only time you find that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something personal. His entire existence was for Klal Yisrael, and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did was for the sake of Klal Yisrael. You won't find another example that Moshe Rabbeinu went for personal, for himself. Everything he did. If he didn't want to be the one to go to Paro, it's because he felt someone else would be better on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Everything he did in davening to Hashem for the money and for the slav and for everything was all for Klal Yisrael. And not only that, I'll tell you one step even further. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Emes, didn't get the schus to get into Eretz Yisrael only because of Klal Yisrael. You'll ask me, what does that mean? Okay, we know the story. The Moshe Rabbeinu went, and instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock, and the water came out. And that's why, because you didn't cause a kiddush shem shemayim, hakti sheni, Hashem said, you did not, you held back Kiddush Hashem from taking place on a higher level by speaking to the rock, and you hit the rock, therefore you're not going to get to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Debrecina Rav Zecharon Avracha, in his tshuvas, he says an interesting thing, and it basically comes out that even this, the Emes, he's not being able to get into Eretz Yisrael, was also a direct outcome because he went out of his way for Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? If you'll notice in the tefillah that we say for Geshem, it took his time, Shemini Atzeres, now over here it's Shemini Atzeres, Shalesh, Simchas Torah, it's all in one day. There's a tefillah Geshem, when we daven by Musaf and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send rain. And one of the tefillahs that you say over there is in the Chazar Sashat is Alaselahach VaYetzu Mayim BaVozeh Altim Namayim. It's talking about the case where Moshe Rabbeinu should have spoken to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, give us water. So asks the Debrecina Rav Zecharon Avracha, why are we picking the one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong and lost his rights to go into Eretz Yisrael? And we're trying, if we want to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the merit of something, give us water, we're going to pick all the, how he put his neck out on the line and he did, he carried it, the burdens in Mitzrayim. He split the sea, he did so much for Christ. But that's not what we say. We pick the one thing that was seemingly a mistake. And in that schus, we ask Hashem to do with water, it's backwards. And then not only that, if you'll take a look at all of the readings before you clap to Hashanah on Hashanah Rabbah, and we all know Hashanah Rabbah is considered the Chasimah Sadin. It's the end of Yom Kippur when it gets written in, is Shmerul going to have a good year, a bad year, what kind of year? It gets stamped on Hashanah Rabbah with that final seal. And we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're clapping the Shanis, and we're asking Hashem that we should have a good year. In there also, if you'll take a look in the Siddur, it says that because of the hitting of the rock by Moshe Rabbeinu, give us a good year. And the same question. So he says an interesting thing. He says that in reality, let's try to analyze what was going through Moshe Rabbeinu's head. What was he thinking? Hashem said, speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. Did you ever stop and think about what's going on here? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu not listen? It seems like a no-brainer. Hashem to speak to the rock, go speak to the rock. But what was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu? What was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu was that he didn't want to create a kitrig against Klal Yisrael. He didn't want that the Malachim could go to Hashem and say, look at this, a rock who can't speak, can't hear nothing, but listens to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Klal Yisrael is so busy complaining, Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading with them and they're not listening to him. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that by going and speaking to the rock, indirectly would come out of Taina on Klal Yisrael. And he couldn't be even indirectly a cause of a complaint against Klal Yisrael. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu knew what the stakes were. He knew that he might lose his chance to go into Eretz Yisrael, which is what everything he wanted. But he had no choice but to put Klal Yisrael's needs before his. The epitome of dedication and selflessness to put everything for Klal Yisrael before himself. And Kach Chavis says, Itaka lost his right to go in because of this. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's taina, that please let me in at least. Because Be'emes says he did it for Klal Yisrael, and that was his whole DNA was what's better for Klal Yisrael. And that's all he did. Now the Debetzina goes on to bring a whole raya from Yanei HaMelech. There's a famous story in the Gemara where Yanei had an eved that killed somebody. The din is, if someone's eved kills someone, the owner of the eved is obligated. And he said, I'm the king, I don't get to do nothing. So he went to Shimon ben Shetach, who was the Av Beis Din at the time. And of course he convened the Beis Din, and he was Mazman, Yanei HaMelech, to Beis Din. And the king got the Azmona, the invitation in the meal to come to Beis Din, and he said, I ain't going. Finally, after a lot of pressure, he had to go to Beis Din, because if the king wouldn't go to Beis Din, no one would go to Beis Din. So he finally showed up. So Shimon Shetach wasn't satisfied. He treated him like all the rest of the people. He said, Yokum Yanei Ve'yidu. He said, get up and testify. And at that point, Yanei HaMelech said, that's it. That's not the way you talk to a king. I ain't getting up nothing. And the other people on the Beis Din, the Dayanim, were scared because here they had, you know, the Reish Av Beis Din talking, and there they had the king, and they were, you know, banging heads. And something was going to give. But Shimon Shetach felt, I'll cover that Torah, you can't talk to Beis Din like this. So he said, that Misha Yedea Kol, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the Malach come and pass it up if I'm right or wrong. And he turns to the people on the right, the people on Beis Din, and he said, Nu, Manyane. And they were too scared, they kept quiet. Right away, Miyad Bo Malach Benisraf, and they burnt up in their seats. And then he turns to the rabbis on the left, and they just saw what happened to the rabbis on the right. And he said, no, you tell Yanei to get up and testify. They were still too scared to speak. Right away the Malach came, and they turned into charcoal. Right there, off and out. And at the end of the day, what was going on over there? Yanei Melech, was he doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And the Ran over there says it could be that Yanei made a mistake in the way Shimon Shetach made a mistake in the way he spoke to Yanei Melech. But what was his kavono? His kavono was l'shem shemayim. It wasn't for his kavod. It was that the kavod of Torah should that kavod of Beis Din should be adhered to. Therefore, min hashemayim yaskimuloi, and that's why the rest of the dayanim got burnt up. Because even though he might have made a mistake, but if his kavono was l'shem shemayim, so min hashemayim yaskimu. So Moshe Rabbeinu came and said the same thing. Okay, I made a mistake. But what was my kavanah? My kavanah was of a Klal Yisrael. So min hashemayim yaskimu. So let me get in. So says the Debetzin Rav. Therefore, if we want to ask Hashem that He should give us a good year, or that we should get rain, there's no bigger mitzvah, no bigger merit than Moshe Rabbeinu putting on the line his ability to be nichnas into Eretz Yisrael only for the tayelas of Klal Yisrael. What shows more selflessness than that? And that's why we pick that example in bringing our case in front of Hashem why we should get rain and why we should have a good year in a Shana Rabbah. That's amazing. So we see even here it was only because of Klal Yisrael. Now, having said that, what was Be'emes, what was some of his kindness? When he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what he said. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Atzmoiso Shel Yosef Nichnasu L'Eretz Yisrael. The bones of Yosef are being nichnas. We know that B'Shvatim Bnei Yisrael carried out the bones from Mitzrayim that Moshe Rabbeinu got from the bottom of the water. While everybody else was going to get gold and silver, Chazal tells Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with Atzmos Yosef. That means Moshe Rabbeinu made it, facilitated that the bones of Yosef rose to the top so that they could be carried out of Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. And they made it into Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So he said to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, his bones could go and I can't go. So what did Hashem say back to Moshe Rabbeinu? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha hoite ba'aretzai, nikba ba'aretzai. The one who's a hoite, the one who's made in the land, he could get buried in the land. And the one who wasn't made in the land can't be. What does that mean? Yosef, it says, Uhevi lonu ish ivri. When they were calling him out of the bar to come give the chaloim, the interpretation, they called him an ish ivri. V'lekofer ela omar gunav gunavti merit ivri. What happened? What did Yosef say? Yosef said, I was stolen away from the house of the Ivrim. And basically, even though he was in Mitzrayim, he was referred to as Ivri, and he said, that's what he said. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, when the daughters of Yisroi came, so they said to Yisroi, the Yisrael said, how did you get back here so fast? Said, Ish Mitzri Yitzilonu Miyad HaRoyim. Vahushay Me'ev Yisrael. He didn't say anything. He was referred to as an Ish Mitzri, and he didn't correct them. He didn't correct them. And the truth is, if you really think about it, the answer of Chaim Shmulevitz, what was Taka going through Moshe Rabbeinu's mind? Ish Mitzri is a hachosha on his whole Yahadus. It should have been incumbent upon him to make a macha and say, no, I'm an Ivri, which would have then been his license, his ticket, straight into Eretz Yisrael, even though he hit the rock. That means the hitting of the rock was not the reason why he didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, like we all think, or thought. According to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's because he kept quiet and didn't protest when they referred to him as an Ishmitri, that he lost his ticket, that when he hit the rock, that's it. Now he can't go in. It's an amazing thing. Memelo, that's why he wasn't able to go in. Therefore, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's why he was punished, he didn't get buried in Eretz Yisrael. Someone who's not Maidu, who's not ready to be that Ivri, and therefore his punishment is he can't be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It turns out it's not really a punishment. It is a Metzius, a fact. Shakol Shady Moide Ba'aretz, if you're not an Ivri, ain't a Shaykh Ba'aretz. Then you have no Shaykhs to Eretz Yisrael.
Wasn't that before he knew that he was a Jew?
No. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what the school was. He knew he didn't nurse from the Goyish lady, and he had to wait for his own mother to come nurse him. The Ain Moyle Mashi Yeshli Taim Vesibas Lakachim Kokim Ain Oretz Reitzaboy. The land doesn't want someone who's not an Ivri. You can't say I'm an Ivri, so then you can't be in the land. So says a gewaltige thing over here from Chaim Shmulevitz, says an important thing. Mikal lime bikdei lekabel es hashpo amushba mimorim al Eretz Yisrael. in order to be a receptacle, something that we could receive, the hashpah, the great hashpah that the land of Eretz Yisrael has to offer for Al Yishvel and on those who dwell and those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Like it says, Tomid Eini Hashem Lekecha Ba, that the puzzle is Tomid Eini Hashem Lekecha Ba. Constant. Now, wait a minute, Hashem's eyes are all over constantly. But yet, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael specifically, his eyes are on the whole world, and then specifically, Eini Hashem Lekecha Ba. Yishtanai Lekach, Shetzorach Liyashayach LaEretz. It has to be that we Amoydiv Oretz, the Hakir Maloso V'Chashivusa. We have to recognize the Milos of Eretz Yisrael, the Chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. V'Rak Al Yidei Agosha Zu Nichnas Odom Taches HaHashpo HaMiyuchet V'Chart. We daven on Tisha B'Av. We ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't continue without the Beis HaMikdash. We can't continue without that kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is it? It's the microcosm of Klai Yisrael's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, we're not always tuned in. We're not always tuned in to the hashbah of the Eretz HaKadosha, of Eretz Yisrael, which we could use as a vehicle to get closer and stay attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says in the Pasuk, Tomid Eini Hashem Lekecha Ba. If Hashem is constantly Eini Lekecha Ba, then we have to realize that on one hand, there's a tremendous, tremendous responsibility of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because Eini Lekecha Ba, Tomid. At the same time, it's a tremendous opportunity to use the hashpah of Eretz Yisrael in our Kodesh. Now, I just the Maisa, if you really think about it, there are two big questions. There are many questions, but two big questions we'll discuss about Tisha B'Av, which I think will tie this up very nicely for us. We know that we're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. We also know that we're not supposed to say Shalom, to Shalom Aleichem, to somebody on Tisha B'Av. Now, if you stop and think about it, it really should be the other way around. I don't know if you stopped yesterday to think about it, but let's stop for a second now. It says, Shalei Baruch Hu B'Torah T'chil. We weren't Machshav Torah. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what would be the way to celebrate, to like fix that up? We should have Shavuos night, the night of Tisha B'Av. Not that it should be forbidden to learn. We should have to do more of it. That would make sense. That's how we would write the laws if we were writing it. It says, because of Sinas Chinom, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we should be obligated on Tisha B'Av to go seek out people to say Shalom Aleichem to them. Especially those people who we happen not to see eye to eye with. That guy that just ripped me off, and that other guy who got on my nerves. We should show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have Sinas Chinom at all. And yet, we're not allowed to learn a word. We're not allowed to learn Torah. Shefei Yoni Tisha B'Av. And we're not allowed to give Shalom. It should be the other way around. Rabbi Leiva Ginsburg, actually the Ishkel in the Mir in Brooklyn, spoke in the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael on the night of Tisha B'Av. My sons told me, I wasn't there, I was here in the morning. My sons told me over that in a nutshell, he said over a yesoid, which is a tremendous yesoid. And that is that at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, There were hundreds and hundreds of mice de Torah in yeshiva. There was a tremendous amount of Torah available. And because of that, there was a little bit lack of recognition or cognizance of the chashivas ha-Torah because of the fact that it was so benimsa. You know the famous story, some town in Russia where they once discovered a whole town full of, I don't know if it's a story or a mashal could be, full of diamonds, and they were paid a lot of money to undiscover, because the value of the diamond is based on how rare it is. But if it will become so benimsa, it will be worth less. So it was worth them paying these people to undiscover the diamonds so they will still be rare. Something that's very around, we take for granted. Something that's all available. He said, oh, an interesting thing. In Europe, in Shanghai, when they left, Meir Shiva left, so they had to travel through Japan to get away from the Nazis in Machshama. So no one had tzaron. People had the shirt on the back, and that was it. One person had a tzais, one person had a Gemara Baba Kama, one person had a chumash. And if someone wanted to use a specific sefer, there was a rishima. You had to sign up, and you would have to wait sometimes days. And then you would get a slot, 3 hours, that you could use that sefer. You had to guard it with your life, and then the next person got to use it. Now, what did they do? This guy who signed up for his sefer, and he got that sefer that Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock. He didn't blink for 2 hours straight. He sat there devouring every minute. He didn't know when the next time was he was going to have that sefer. Why? Because since it was so not available, it was so chashuv. Therefore, Torah was so available. It was so around. There's a million of Svarim all over the place. Who doesn't know about Torah? Who doesn't know about Svarim? Look what Art Scroll did to us over the last 20 years. You go into any Brooklyn Public Library, any library in the United States, you have the Art Scroll Gemara. It's all over the place. So the only way that we could get to a level of appreciating Torah is by not being allowed to have it for a day. Then we could get to the point of appreciating Torah the way we should have been, in order that the Beis Hamikdash should not have been destroyed. And the same thing is the way we're noyig when we say hello to somebody, and the way we're noyig with shalom is it's when it's convenient and when it's in our best interest. It's all external. It's not internal, it's not genuine. But if for one day you can't say hello, then you start appreciating when you could say hello much more. So I feel, back to our sugya here, this is something that we could always work on to be mechazek ourselves, mechazek our family, our children. A lot of us, maybe all of us sitting here, once in our lifetime lived in Chutz La'aretz or visited Chutz La'aretz or came from Chutz La'aretz. But sometimes our children were born here and have always been here. It's the old story of where you live in a place that has an Erev, then the kids grow up never understanding the concept you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos because they never experienced it. So we who have experienced and felt that exhilaration of coming into Eretz Yisrael, the connection of Kedusha, of realizing, you know, I'm an Ivri. This is where I belong, this is my home. My neshama is getting nourished more. My guf gets nourished more. Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, Chakima. So many different chazal. And we can constantly reignite that flame so it never goes out. If we could use that as a vehicle to be mechazik in our learning, and mechazik in our mitzvahs, and mechazik in our bein adam l'chaveroi, mechazik bein adam l'makom, constantly, and then be marbitz, give it over to our children, to our grandchildren, give it over to our cousins, our nephews, our siblings, our spouse, whoever. How many people we constantly live in a day, we're so busy, we forget we're in Eretz Yisrael. then we'll understand what it means, Tisha B'Av. We'll understand to take away the lima for Tisha B'Av, to stay in tune. We're missing that kesher. We need that kesher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost much more when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed than we did. The Eitzim HaAvonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his wrath out, but that was in order not to take it out on Klal Yisrael. But we have to reignite that connection in everything we do in Ruchnis and in Gashmias. And I believe I'll stick it into the Gemara, not that I have to, but I think it's important to try to stay grounded in Sanhedrin and Gemara we're doing. We talk until we're blue in the face about Tchias HaMeisim, but who really believes and who understands it? What? Tchias HaMeisim? Who? What? Yeah, we daven M'chai HaMeisim. If we internalize that concept, our emunah would be ironclad in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We maminim. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability. And if we would, we when we daven Shemini Esrei, we're so busy davening, we're not thinking. And therefore, it seems like it's in the abstract, Tchias HaMeisim. But the emes is, what could be more important to us than to know that if we do what's right, we will come back to life and live forever? Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants that, but yet we don't think about it. And that's what we learn in Gemara about Tchias HaMeisim and HaTorah. We don't know what I'm having a hard enough time in this world. I got to worry about that one. And that's because we're so busy being busy. We're so used to hearing the words Tchias HaMeisim, we never stop to think about what they are. Maybe if it was such a thing that we'd have to go 24 hours not allowed to think about Tchias HaMeisim, period, it's an aveirut like eating on Tisha B'Av. Maybe by the end of that 24-hour period, we'll be chalashing just to say the words Tchias HaMeisim. Because who doesn't want everyone? You'll stop anybody in the street. Even if he does aveirus, we all do aveirus. Even if we're not the best observant Jews. We have our good days and our bad days. But every one of us wants Tchias HaMeisim. We're not ready to give up on that. So maybe this is a good opportunity to ground ourselves in the belief and internalizing it, so that the words aren't just words in the abstract, but it's meaningful. It could serve as a catalyst for us to do so much good and to prevent so much not good if we would internalize the concept of Tchias HaMeisim. I just want to remind the Olam that the next year will be on September, on about August 28th, it's a Sunday night. That's when the Rav Shlita is going to be starting again his Chavis HaLavish year. Also, the next 2 weeks are Yachid Kala, for those who are here and are participating. But this year will continue on the 28th of August. I think that's a Sunday night. That's what the Rav just told me. Okay?